Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119. Let's give reading to verses 153 and 154. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to thy word. Two references in these verses. Two verses, two references to the word of God. David had a high regard for God's word. So what do we learn? Well, we learn that in times of trial and affliction, we should pray. We should pray that God would quicken us, revive us, and help us according to his word. The lesson we can learn also from this, as we've been developing it, is that our coming to God's word should be a matter of prayer. When we really stop to think about the fact that this is God's word, setting it apart uniquely, distinctly from any other writings that there might be, then begins to show us our approach to it, to this word of God, is distinctly different than in as we approach any other writing. Think of this as being the inspired word of God. We need to have that consciously up on our mind and our heart when we hear it preached, when we read it in our own personal devotions. Anytime we come to the word of God, we should view it as the inspired word of God. Some of this is a bit of review from last time, and then we will progress to other issues. So the first thing that we must keep in mind in connection with this being the inspired word of God is that God speaks to us through his word. God has something to say. And that should be of high priority in my dealings with the Word of God. God has something to say to me and to Stephen and to Michael. He knows what we need to hear, when we need to hear it. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, uses this phrase, "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him." Paul knew that God had something to say to the Ephesians. Now, In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, we read, "He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice." Well, of course, there's a lot of, what shall I say, humorous things said about hearing voices. Well, the writer to the Hebrews knew that there is a way in which we hear God's voice. He speaks. Above all else, we must have a conscious awareness that God will deal with us personally and individually and make his word a reality in our souls. And that reality should grip us in such a way that it changes many, many things about me as an individual, my attitude about this or that, my viewpoint on this or that. It should begin to place me in the realm of the fact that these truths are far more real than the things that are tangible to us, that we can touch and feel. I was thinking the other day, as I was again going back over some truths, I happened to be reading a treatise on sanctification by James Frazer, dealing with Romans 6, 7, 8, and the insights that God has given this man. But at the same time, thinking about what does that verse, particular verse, really say? And I was looking at some other verses and that are related to those truths there in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Particularly Galatians 2:20. And I thought of that phrase, and I believe I have made mention to this recently, but I am crucified with Christ. Now you just stop there. I am crucified with Christ. And I sat there and I kept thinking, Christ, Christ, the Son of God, eternal Son of God. Paul says, I'm crucified with him. Well, if Paul was crucified with him, that means as a believer, I'm crucified with him, with Christ, the eternal Son of God. And you begin to flesh those things out in your thoughts, and you begin to think, this is wonderful. This is amazing. It's not ho-hum, I'm crucified with Christ, da-da-da-da-da-da. And that should, those truths, Romans 6, 7, and 8, Galatians 1, the reality of those truths should grip us in such a way that it makes a difference on the way I think. It should change me in many ways. again, God speaking to me through those words, I am crucified with Christ. If that's true, and it should be true of me, what does that mean today in my life as I sit here in my living room and as I plan to go to the post office in a half hour? It should change my outlook on myself and on my life and on my ministry and on many, many, many things. Why? Because I have this direct association with and involvement with Christ, the Son of God. And I'm just struggling for ways to say how that's part of God speaking. God has ways. We covered this. This is review. Isaiah, for my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble. So there's this aspect of humility as I come to the Word of God. And contrite of spirit. Do you know what the rest of it says? Who trembles at my word. That's not ho-hum. Here we go again with my five-minute devotion. What would cause us to tremble at God's word? Except the conscious awareness that it is the true and living God who is having dealings with me as an individual through his word. Thus saith the Lord. Many times that is the preface to what he says. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. God speaks. Sometimes he adds one of the attributes. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. That adds weight to it. For thus says the High and Exalted One. It's like, listen to me. Interesting that we had some very dear friends in Phoenix, the Basus family. They were from Armenia. Dear Christians, very godly family, dear free people. And they would invite us over for dinner. And they had some children who were high school, college, and they would help out in the kitchen, get the meal ready, and the missus was definitely in charge of the kitchen, and all two or three children coming and going, helping. It was really interesting because she had this way of giving them instruction, and it was always prefaced with, Mama says, Mama says. It was never left out. It wasn't put this in the ice box or hand. Mama says, put this in the ice box. Mama says. What did that mean? It had a meaning. It wasn't just habit. It was showing the authority. I mean, it was a way of saying, do it. I mean it. Pay attention, get it done. Mama says. And I thought about that. God says. God says. What does that mean to you, to me? Well, the second truth then that we deal with in this is the fact, a course of divine inspiration, which we have already touched on. Let me add to that. All scripture is inspired. But there's another aspect that Paul adds, and it's profitable. Profitable. And then he gives some specifics. Profitable for teaching. Profitable for reproof. Correction, training in righteousness. And there's a result to be expected, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's not just your Sunday school teacher. That's you. That you might be adequate, equipped for every good work. That word equipped is an interesting word. And when we think of it, we have different kinds of professions and different kinds of jobs, and that we need to be equipped for if we occupy that position. That is a word that conveys to us that we're going to be enabled to serve our God in whatever capacity He has for us to do that. You're going to be equipped. Where does the equipment, where does the equipping come from? God's Word. God's Word. When we're dealing with others and are perhaps on a not even a one-to-one basis, conversation, opportunity to witness because of a certain opportunity that God gives us. Isn't it a blessing whether you are the recipient of or the giver of the right word at the right time? It just drives the issue home. It hits the nail on the head. Because it's the right words depending on that particular situation. What's happened? God has equipped you through His Word, the knowledge of His Word, the handling of that Word, to be an effective one-on-one witness in a given situation. Equipped, the right equipment. Young man that I met in the bookstore, Mark Whitcomb, became a fireman, went with the Air Force and became a fireman in the Air Force. And I've sat and talked to him. In fact, I went to visit him when he was at basic training. And he talked to me about some of the training he had. And it was quite demanding. But what was taking place during all of this? In countless ways, they were equipping him for many given scenarios that could happen. He said one of the most difficult ones is if a plane landed and crashed and was burning and you had people inside and another fireman has gone in and he has become disoriented because of the heat, the smoke, lack of oxygen, whatever. He said one of the most difficult situations is to go in and get a disoriented fireman out, rescue him. And he was telling me about the various equipment that was necessary. We rely much on equipment, but that's a word that's used in the scriptures. And it's a very vital part of our approach to the Word of God. Do you come away from your encounter with God's Word equipped? We should. We should. Now, we also mentioned that it is an inexhaustible treasury of knowledge. The whole counsel of God is what we're dealing with. Do you realize? I'm sure you do. You will never, ever in your lifetime exhaust God's Word. It will always have a treasure and something to say and help and comfort and instruction and equipping. And it's limitless. It's God's Word. Do we think about that as we come to it, to read it, to memorize it, to study it, and to learn it? Now, that being true, what are some of these treasures? In fact, in a sanctified way, we could refer to them as mysteries, in the right sense of the word. What are they? What are some of them? Could you name them? Anyone? Or two? How about the mystery of His love? We could just stop right there. How would you ever exhaust what the God's Word has to tell us about His love? Grace. God's grace. I'll mention a few more. Wisdom, righteousness, holiness, the attributes of God. Who of us, who of anybody, anywhere, could ever search out the depths of God's love? Search out the depths of God's grace. John Newton, good example. Men, some of these men we work with in prison. God's holiness. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. You ever think about that? Think about that. The Apostle Paul praying for the Ephesians. And you, one of the things that he prayed was this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The eyes of your heart? Yes. Yes. The eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know. Not know about, but know. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? the inexhaustible treasuries of his word. And then when Paul wrote to the Romans, listen to these words. Oh, the depth. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Take that in. Be reminded of that. As we come to the Word of God, oh, the depth. We perhaps have, on occasion, maybe on a journey across the ocean or part of it, or think of the very deepest part of the ocean, the depth, and it staggers the mind. You just can't take it in. No way. The depth of the riches of the wisdom. The knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Again, I use the illustration. We have some people, men, who God has raised up and used to give us profound writings. John Owen writing the death of death in the death of Christ. I believe I'm right on this. It took him 7 years to write it. And in the preface, he himself says, I'm paraphrasing it. If you're a window shopper reader, you've read far enough. In other words, forget it. Forget it. And it is a profound book on the death of Christ, particular redemption. But it can be exhausted. No way to compare the two. Isn't it amazing that God has ways of bringing us to his word and using his word in special times of difficulty. I mentioned the times of affliction. Times when we are at our wits' end, frustrated. We need help. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, for now I keep thy law. What is David saying? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying affliction brought me to profit from the Word of God. So much so that I'm now keeping, I'm obeying. I'm living my life in accordance with God's word. What did it? Affliction. Affliction. Do we find the word of God, as Paul told Timothy, profitable? Do you profit from your own encounter with it? Your own personal reading of it, memorizing it, meditating on it, hearing it preached? Now, there's another element that we need to touch on. The ultimate goal in our life and our encounter with the Word of God brings us to glorify God in our thinking, in our conduct, in our words. And God works in unique ways in our life to bring us to glorify Him in our life. Now, how do we do that? We order our life according to the Word of God. That's where the rubber meets the road, as the old expression was. It comes right down to the nitty-gritty of applying it, making some changes in my thinking, in my conduct, following the purpose of God as it's revealed in His holy word. Proverbs tells us, "For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and seek for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." Knowledge of God. Where does we get it? From His Word. Now, I think it's amazing when you see kids getting into school and beginning to learn numbers, alphabet, math. Those things are going to be implemented into and integrated into their life. And their life will begin to change based on what they're learning. But that's just a sample of the way our life ought to change as we learn this truth. And the ultimate result of those changes that are being made via the Word of God ultimately brings glory to God through His Word. Well, I want us to think about finally how, what is the key aspect, one of the key aspects of our coming to God's Word. And it's a word that you're familiar with and we use, humility. humility. Turn with me to James chapter 4. We're going to look at two or three references here together. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Psalm 25, 9. He leads the humble in justice. And he, what's the next word? Teaches. He teaches the humble in his way. So if I expect to be taught in my encounter with God and his word, one of the key characteristics of that is my humility. Coming, acknowledging my dependence upon God to show me, to teach me, to instruct him, as it says in Psalm 25. He will instruct him in the way he should choose. Isn't it amazing how many choices we make? They're not all good ones. Unfortunately, we make some bad choices, some good. What a privilege it is to be instructed by God in the way we should choose. And where are we going to get that help? From his word, coming to his word with humility, willing, desiring, praying, pleading to be taught, as David did in his song. James 1:21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, two little words, in humility. In humility. Receive the word with a humble spirit. And God will bless. I pray that we will keep these things in mind as we read our God's word every day. I say that because unless we are willing to do so, and consciously or willingly to do so, we're not really going to profit from God's word. And my desire for you, for my own heart and life, is that I'm going to use a funny expression. I've mentioned it before in Spanish. Sacar todo el jugo. And that in Spanish, translated into English, means get out all the juice. Squeeze out the last drop of juice. And I hope, pray, that we will become a people that benefit from the word of God. It is not a magic talisman. That if I rub it just right, I'll have some good luck. No, it's God's word. God's word. May we treat it as God's word, especially tied into times of affliction. David knew the importance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven, your word that's eternal. And we pray, Father, that we might have an increasing higher value of your word as we read it, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, as we hear it preached, that it will do our souls good. Good for now, today, tomorrow, this week, but also for all of eternity. We ask in Christ's name, amen.